And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I love catching all of y'all's vibes just from the background of the shit. Waz just like in the space station. Just fucking like J. King, like in a bunker. A nuclear bunker.
Is that a Peloton behind you?
That is a Peloton, yeah.
Fucking doing a tight 20 with Cody jumping off the Peloton and getting right on the thing.
The Peloton, yeah, that's what I was about to say. J. King just did a fucking Tour de France.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writer.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We've got Trevon Edwards. We've got Jay King. We've got Wozni Lambre. We got Jade Hoy producing. And our special guest from Crooked Media has two new shows on Crooked Media. We've got Take Line with not just Jason Concepcion, but former WNBA star Renee Montgomery, unpacking politics and passionate engagement in both the high and low stakes conversations across the wide world of sports, and the all new just announced video series All Caps NBA, where I believe you're teaming up with your Emmy Award winning partner, Jason Gallagher, right? Like, you guys won an Emmy together, and now you're going for another.
We did win an Emmy together, and, you know, it's like LeBron said, you know, not one, not two, not three,
not four,
right?
Not five. That's the way we view the world.
Be two then?
Yeah, it'll
be two.
It'll be two.
So you get one more.
It'll be two. We're hoping it's two.
Jason Concepcion, not just of Crooked Media and those two new shows, which are Take Line is fantastic, and All Caps, we know All Caps NBA will be great, but of New York Knicks fandom.
No, that's right.
And the Knicks are good, Jason.
Let's go! Let's go! Listen, y'all have been talking about it. I appreciate the discourse on this very program that I listen to regularly. Shouts to Dave Dufour, the coward who didn't want to be here today for whatever reason. I'm so sick of this shit. I got to listen to this guy's fucking takes all the time on this podcast, sounding like a 95-year-old man who just got on the internet. Talk about don't tweet about this dunk or that dunk, or like, just stop it. And now he's not here to take my wrath, and I'm mad at him.
Yeah, but there is somebody here. There's somebody
Jay
here.
King
to take
is here.
Jay King is.
I don't feel the same about Jay, except when Thank he started you. Talking Thank about you. Jay Crowder last week, which was wild. But I still, but Jay still comes with the
Finals MVP.
Jay's
Jay Crowder?
Like so deep. Yeah, Jay King is so deep in the sauce, I think, is what the issue is. He's just so lost in the sauce that he will come up with this like little nugget of sauce and be like, this is actually the most important nugget of all time.
Jay Crowder, I'm telling you, every team needs a Jay Crowder.
Dude, but why?
Because why? He's the Jay Crowder of the pod.
Do the Knicks need a Jay Crowder? Is Jay Crowder the truth?
I'll take that as a compliment. I'm not going to lie.
The Knicks. So the Knicks. I've guaranteed on NBA radio on SiriusXM that the Knicks will avoid the play-in tournament. Okay. So that does mean either a top six seed or a bottom five team in the East. But I do believe that it's more likely to be a top six team in the East because I just think they're going to win enough games and they play defense. Now, a lot of people, including Howard Beck, have informed me that they have the toughest schedule in the second half of the season.
I don't
Jason,
hear
does
that
shit. Worry you?
I don't want to hear that shit. Let's start with the negative, first of all. Yes, of course. They had the 29th hardest schedule to begin the season. They had basically the easiest schedule to begin the season, and now they're having what is measured to be the third worst, third hardest. On top of that, they have been outperforming opposing three-point shots, okay, by a wide margin. Fine. I still believe in them, and you got to get lucky somehow. And these, you know, the schedule, that's not something they control, but they killed what they had. And listen, it's been a little rocky to start this part of the schedule, but then they beat the Thunder the other night, and RJ was fantastic. And I believe in this team. And listen, aside from like the statistical stuff that you know, the opposing three-pointers will come back to earth, that there'll be some kind of correction there. And certainly the strength of schedule, there'll be some kind of correction there. At the same time, the way this team is organized makes sense. It's coherent for the first time in a long time. Like, they're doing things that make sense. Whether they will still be as effective as they were in the first half of the season remains to be seen, but they look like an actual basketball team, not like just a traveling circus.
Jason, I love talking to Knicks fans. Obviously, grew up with a bunch of Knicks fans, people in my family, my friends, my homies texting me every time Emmanuel quickly walks and chews gum at the same time.
Let's go!
I want to know your journey into this season, because I know for me, when I saw they hired Tibbs after the Leon Rose, who I still can't believe isn't black, CAA whole thing, right?
Shouts to White Neons.
After the whole CAA, I was like, wow, are they really going to just do the traveling CAA party this entire season? Like, the process of getting here started off very questionably and shaky for me.
Sure.
I was definitely questioning, where were you at when they hired Tibbs? When, you know, we're bringing in World Wide West. Steve Stout is in charge of marketing. Like,
the Steve Stout chapter in this story, I'm just going to forget that happened right now, because that was one of those things where, like, if the Steve Stout part of the rollout happened as the fourth step, not the first step, it wouldn't have been nearly as big an issue, right? But it's like, if you're talking rebrand first, then that's the wrong order to do things. You need to change the product before you start talking about the rebrand. That said, Tibbs, I talked myself into it pretty quickly. I think you can look at the track record everywhere he's been. He has, like, minutes aside, the way he plays guys aside, he's moved the needle in terms of making teams better on offense and defense, on both sides of it. Players that were marginal gave him absolutely max effort. You know, Nate Robinson, DJ Augustin, you're going on and on with these players that he's given his trust and have returned that investment to him. And so I was happy about it. The other thing is, like, you know, our core of RJ and Mitch, these are young guys. They got a lot of mileage on those legs left to burn. So I wasn't terribly worried about the minutes. And I think the issue with, like, communication with players, I think with Leon and Wes on board, you allow them to handle that part of it. And, you know, Tibbs can just worry about getting the team to compete on a night-to-night basis. And thus far it's worked. You know, like, it's clear that Tibbs wants to win now, right?
He has a bias towards good players, Jason. Did you see that the other day?
Yeah.
That was my favorite quote. I love that. That was so perfect.
He does have a bias towards good players. That's he will say things like, the players that get minutes for me are the ones who are playing well, which I don't know if that's necessarily the case all the time. That said, listen, thus far, Leon Rose has managed to balance building a team in a responsible way with the clear demand from Tibbs and the coaching staff to try and create something that's competitive now. And it's worked so far. And I couldn't be more happy.
Well, is the door open for them, Trey, to go after
the number one seed in the league now that Joel Embiid is out for 2 to 3 weeks, if not more, after being reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks. Because Trey, Joel Embiid, scary hyperextension the other night. I've hyperextended my knee before. It sucks. It is a terrifying feeling in your leg when it bends that way. You obviously are coming back from a leg injury. How much did you fear for Joel Embiid's season?
Oh, man. I grabbed my leg as soon as I seen it. I thought it was over. Right. Like, I'm just like, yo, are you kidding me? But again, bone bruise still sucks. But, you know, scary, scary situation. And, you know, I'm sure all Philly fans' heartbeat stopped right then and there. And hopefully, you know, in the next month, you know, with much needed rest, he'll be able to get back to where he is.
Jay, with 2 to 3 weeks, is that going to take him out of MVP? Let's say he's back and he's fine in 2 to 3 weeks, right? Let's say 3 weeks, he's fine. Can he still be your MVP?
I mean, he could be. I guess it depends how these weeks go, because if they fall apart and then he drags them back to like the 2 or 3 seed, or maybe even the 1 seed, then it looks even better on him that he missed a couple weeks and they just were trashed during that time. I also think this MVP, there's no like clear cut. Last year, Giannis put together just outrageous stats that nobody was going to deny, no matter what.
Nobody but this LeBron, year, even though when he came in second place and said that the margin was too large, but
I still never understand that. There were two confusing statements about losing an award. It was that, and then when Trae Young said, "I'm going to prove the 4 people who voted me Rookie of the Year to be correct." It's like, how does that work in the future? That doesn't make any sense. I've never understood that.
Those 4 guys, man. Yeah. They saw it clearly. But yeah, I think, and this injury took me back to kind of how far Joel Embiid has come. Because for a while, it seemed inevitable that he would have a career-ending injury or just
anything. Like, I just hope that he finishes the season. Like, that was that the type of situation where we're looking like, dang, I'm happy that he got paid.
Yeah. Like, oh, he can't play back to back, right? Like, everyone's going to be too hard on his body. Yeah.
He was looking like Greg Oden territory. 60
games was crazy when you really thought about it. He was like, yo, we just want Joel Embiid to play at least 50 games. And then that'll be a success. And it's like, now, this dude's playing out of his mind. You know what I mean? He's hooping. And obviously, we had a scare. But I don't think it really kind of scrapes it. I think he's still clearly the number one guy right now. His team's sitting pretty in the East.
When he incepted the refs into teeing up Donovan Mitchell, that was when he grasped the throne.
That was his MVP moment.
It was unbelievable. He grasped the throne with both hands in that moment. It's like, obviously his stats are unreal. As you mentioned, like the race isn't super cut and dried. Like a lot of Embiid's case rides on the fact that the Sixers are top of the conference, right? And Jokic is crushing it in basically every statistical category, but the Nuggets have been kind of up and down. They've been there. They're where they are purely because of him. And then LeBron is just LeBron. So I think, this is going to be, it's going to be really interesting what happens to the Sixers right now, being as his, Embiid's case is a lot about how well the Sixers are playing. But like, for me, when he did that, when he got the refs to actually tech up Mitchell, that was MVP.
Yeah, and his competitors aren't going to run away with this thing, right? Like, the Nuggets aren't going to all of a sudden become a top 2 team in the West. LeBron and the Lakers, who I watched that indie game, and it was the perfect Lakers special where they did absolutely nothing for most of the game. And then did just enough to squeak by like a bunch of senioritis. This season is senioritis for the Lakers.
By the way, that game was so trash. I was like pulling my eyebrows out, bro. Like, it was so bad.
Look, no offense to him, but like any game where like I'm like, wow, Malcolm Brogdon's like killing right now. Any game, I'm like, it's not a good game.
Yo, the takes were so crazy though, Zach. Like, listen, he had 20 in the first quarter, right? And I'm like, cool. All of a sudden, don't the Bucks miss, don't the Bucks miss him? I'm just like, bro, don't do that, bro.
They're doing way fine, bro.
And then all of a sudden, this game's dragging out. We're talking about, Brogdon and LeBron getting at it, sharing, you know, rifting back and forth. And I'm just like, yo, I know LeBron caught, I mean, Brogdon caught LeBron during his rookie year and they got some like history and whatnot. But, and most people forgot about that. But what does that even, it's the Pacers.
I'm not doing all that.
So it was a funny situation that they're that bad and the Lakers could kind of squeak by just even on their worst game.
I wasn't planning on talking about this, but I'm curious how Pacers fans feel now, because everything that went bad last year, it was, oh, Nate McMillan, you know, this Nate McMillan guy. And now like they're having a lot of the same struggles and there's some weird like decision making from Nate Bjorkgren, I think that's how you say his name. And now like, I don't see the same stuff out of Pacers Twitter, whatever that is. But curious. I'm just curious if,
that's curious. Lars,
if you have a,
the Hoosiers. Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
If you build a 1990s roster, you shouldn't expect them to play like a 2021 team. Like it's not going to be the coach. If you put Sabonis and Turner next to each other, and it's Malcolm Brogdon and TJ Warren and shit are your best perimeter players, what are you expecting? Are you expecting like pace and space and like, beautiful?
No, like you got like people, you got grit Twitter screaming about TJ McConnell. Like I was ready to turn grit it off, Twitter. Man. Grit Twitter was balling.
He had five steals on five possessions.
But that turned you and Dave
before
on, bro. That shit was gross. Ridiculous. Like
I'm not trying to watch this Aaron Kraft basketball. Okay, we left that at Ohio State.
Don't talk about TJ McConnell.
I'm not trying to see three charges. Bro, like his highlight mix does fit your charges. Like,
we're not watching Wisconsin Badger basketball. That's not what we do in the NBA. I'm done with that.
A white guy, a gritty white guy, playing in the NBA at all is like
Kurt Heinrich University, bro.
A certain crowd off. We get it. But put him in a city like Boston or Indiana, and it just becomes unbearable. And even Philly is slightly one of those cities where, oh, we're hard-nosed, tough-minded city. Oh, we're gritty. We're blue-collar. Blah, 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 blah. And then you throw a TJ McConnell in that mix, and I literally just have to throw up sometimes.
We need that TJ McConnell mix. That's all charges with, like, Fallout Boy. Is this And then it's just TJ McConnell like falling down in slow-mo.
Fallout Boy, that's crazy.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Oh, speaking of Fallout, here's a segue. Getting back to this Joel Embiid injury fallout, will they be able to be carried by one of the most overrated players in the league, man. Ben Simmons, according to Justin Kutcher of the Washington Wizards broadcast? Jade, play the tape.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it before, and I know I'll take flack for it. As Westbrook is at the free throw line, as the call on the floor stood, the challenge by Doc Rivers, I think Ben Simmons is one of, if not the most overrated players in the NBA. And he's gotten so much love and attention that people aren't paying attention to what Tobias Harris is actually doing on the floor.
We're not hearing that in real time. That's a post-production thing right there. But he did say he wanted to say good things about Tobias Harris, and in the process just decided to take
just
a dump on
N-word
Ben Simmons
go, bro.
On the air, and then whoa,
sugar spice.
I'm just gonna roll through that stop sign, and then tweeted later, yep, I said that Ben Simmons is one of the most overrated players in the NBA, and I stand by it. I didn't say he was bad, just not as good as everyone makes him out to be. Great defender, potential DPOY, but I think he's made all-league, all-star teams based on hype. Good night. And so
here are my thoughts on that real quick. One, you can't make the All-Star team as a reserve based on hype. The coaches don't give a shit what people think of Ben Simmons. They care about what they think or what their assistants who voted think of Ben Simmons. Like that's so the All-Star team, no. All-League, okay. Maybe. I think he's pretty good. Yeah, but I mean, maybe.
Rest in peace to Kobe, but remember, he made a bunch of all-defensive teams that were like, yo, really?
Yeah, for sure. So you can make it on hype and reputation towards the end. You can.
Yeah.
You can. It's just harder now with the vote being public. And then this is something like, let's say, you know, we'd love to do it. He's only 24 years old. So he's only 24 years old. Let's say he never gets an ounce better than he is. He's going to finish with like a handful of all NBA, a handful of all-star selections, maybe a DPOY or two. And if he keeps these averages for 10 years, he's going to finish with like 16,000 points, 8,000 boards, 8,000 assists for his career, which only Jason Kidd and LeBron James have done.
300 would have been big real.
Yeah, but what the fuck's wrong with that? Like, what's wrong with that? See? Like, that's a good player. Would I like? We could say like, I don't know if I'd want to build my team around him in a modern league. All that bullshit, right? We get into that, but this is my issue with the overrated underrated thing. Is I can search Ben Simmons overrated and Ben Simmons underrated on Twitter and get an even number of replies and tweets and everything. So what does that mean? What is the ratedness of
Ben Simmons? First of all, I want to say this rant by the announcer was awesome. Anytime a play-by-play guy
of course
just goes out of his way to shit on someone for no reason.
Here we go.
I'm no. there for it.
He gonna blame it on his blood sugar, bro. Watch out.
I'm glad that I'm here.
Second of all, I actually
I'm glad
think
that I'm here to witness this in
person.
I am
totally against what he actually said. Ben Simmons at one point was probably overrated. Now all everybody wants to talk about is what he can't do. And everyone wants to talk about how broken the jumper is. And it is as broken as anything's ever been. But he does everything else, every other thing. And he's become such a great defender. I actually think he's underrated. And the fact that this guy claims he's so overrated to hype up Tobias Harris. Like, Ben Simmons is better than Tobias Harris.
What did Tobias Harris do to you,
that's
bro?
That was the main situation for me. It's like, wait, all you doing all of this in service of a Tobias Harris's dope take?
Yeah, that's wild.
Hey, you know what's crazy, Ross? He probably got a Top Shop card. That's the Top Shot card, and that's why he wants to big up Tobias. He's trying to raise
artificially inflating his Top Shot stock.
I would buy a Top Shot of the play-by-play guy rant, though.
Listen, I have a Tyrese Halliburton rookie, and I've been doing everything in my power to hype that card as much as possible.
It's crazy.
I'm not above it.
And the thing about Ben Simmons is I do think there was a point where it was a little overrated in the height of, you know, these crazy hinky files and the process and we got Ben Simmons and so it was worth it and blah, 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 blah. Like it was a point where the chatter was crazy. But once you get put on the trading block and you're under team control and you're his age and you've made all-stars and all defensive teams, et cetera, you're no longer overrated. Your team was willing to freaking trade your ass, get you out of town. You know what I'm saying? So like, Ben Simmons overrated is just that take is cooked. It's over. They tried to trade his ass. He's not overrated anymore. It's not like Jay King's boys and that regime over there. Oh, the kids are so precious and untouchable. They're probably we could never part with our precious babies.
Peyton Pritchard, he's not going anywhere. That's a Celtic for life.
Pritchard
once again.
Those kids are overrated, or they're overrated by their management. But Ben Simmons doesn't fall into that category anymore.
Not one bit.
I agree with all y'all. I think it's a little complicated because, you know, if the Fultz pick pans out, we're not talking about this because that was the perfect player that the Sixers needed, right? And we wouldn't – Ben Simmons's weaknesses wouldn't be highlighted in quite the same way. I don't think we'd be having this conversation because really what we're talking about is
or if Ben they just Simmons kept Jimmy can't Butler. Be –
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's it. Really, what we're talking about is Ben Simmons can't be your like second go to, top two go to scorer, superstar on your team if you want to win a title. That's what we're talking about. Can he be your third best player and play off the ball? Yes. Clearly, yes. But again, I think I agree with you, Zach, and everything you guys have said in the sense that we talk too much about like what he can't do. At the same time, like we have all of this evidence postseason after postseason of teams scheming for a particular player that can't shoot, standing 5 feet off of them and daring them to do it, and that spinning a series.
Right.
But I agree. I think that Ben Simmons is underrated at this point.
But they do that with Draymond,
his contributions on both sides of the ball. Yeah.
And with Draymond, like, it never mattered because all the stuff he does matters more. And I think if Ben Simmons had, obviously, the cast of the Warriors, but I think, like, if he just had that one scoring guard around him, all of a sudden it opens him up to do even more stuff. Yep. And I just think, like, his flaws make it tougher to build around him. But if you can, he's just a ridiculously helpful player.
It's wild to think that the the Sixers essentially traded up in the draft to get Markelle Fultz just to end up with Tyrese Maxey, because that's what happened. Like they traded up, they draft Markelle Fultz, and then they moved him to Orlando for Jonathan Simmons, a second round pick that actually ended up being Carson Edwards, shout out Jay King, and the pick that ended up being Tyrese Maxey. And it's just, it's so like, I didn't even think of that, Jason, when you said if the Fultz pick, you know, works out, then we're not talking about this. And now, like, they just don't have that other guy. Unless you believe Tobias Harris is that other guy, like, then they fully have that. But also, with all that said,
so they just don't have that other guy?
But if Joel Embiid is healthy and plays like what he was doing all season, I don't think it fucking matters. Like, I don't think...
Yeah.
I am interested, like, a potential healthy Nets, healthy Sixers series, conference finals, wherever that ends up being... I'm into that. I think the Sixers probably need one more dude on the wing to defend, but there is going to be a point where Joel Embiid is just a bully if he's healthy, based on how Doc Rivers has helped kind of unlock everything. And I don't know what you do with that if you're the rest of the league. Like, it's this tired thing of like, oh, the big man's back. Big man never went away. They just didn't have Joel Embiid. Like, Joel Embiid's the big man now to make Ben Simmons' deficiencies completely irrelevant. Because he is, I mean, maybe I'm just too high on Joel Embiid, but I've always thought like he's that good where he can break anything, not just on his own body.
I mean, but the thing is, he has shown himself to be a defensive player of the year level guy, and he's done it in the playoffs, in big games like that. And, you know, it gets told over and over again, but they lost that Raptors game 7 by 8 points, by 1 point, and he was +8 in the 45 minutes that he played. They got smoked in the 3 minutes that he didn't, and that was the difference, right? Like, he's done it against really good competition in the playoffs, right? Like, you know, it's the Stugats thing. Do it again, and then do it in the playoffs.
And then do it the next year.
And then do it again next year in the playoffs again, right? So he's shown himself to be that type of big-time guy now. Who knows what they're going to do in the playoffs about crunch time possessions and getting him the rock, and can you run an offense through a big man in crunch time, which I think that answer's already been answered because I watched Nikola Jokic do it last postseason.
You can do
where
it
he was the dude they ran everything through down the stretch, right? So I'm with Zach, man. I think Embiid is incredible. I think it's hilarious, and it kind of speaks to process culture that there was even a question at any point whose quote unquote team it was, because
Waz is never going to let this process thing go.
No, I can't. Yes. They threw a parade for him at the, remember the bar, the hanky parade? That was disgusting.
That was the Rights to Ricky Sanchez Christ. Podcast. Those people are in the most loveful way possible.
No. Too many people with real jobs who pay their bills on time Like, these people are responsible for stuff. And like,
that was a live look.
They showed up to that party.
That was a live look at the Rick Ross meme.
Evan Turner pick and rolls with Spencer Hawes for like 3 years. They get to celebrate Sam Hinkie. Okay?
Shouts to Spencer Hawes. Lock her up.
No, don't do that.
Please don't shout off to him.
Just a reminder that you can find Jason Gazepian on Crooked Media now. In the intersection between sports and politics.
Don't do that.
Hey, I just produced episode one of that pod for you, Jason. My check, my invoice will be in the mail, brother.
Speaking of shipping people out of town, the trade market, I think, is going to be dry as hell. Too many teams think they're buyers because of the play-in tournament, so it turns the buyout market into something much more manageable and probably fruitful. And so I think PJ Tucker gets moved because there's real value in him getting moved, and it's an easy contract. Andre Drummond is a buyout guy moving forward. And then they're not going to trade that corpse that is LaMarcus Aldridge. That's not going to, like, that's not going to get moved. This whole thing, man, I'm so sick of this shit. I've been saying this for years, all right? I've been saying this for years. Wow. And everyone's like, oh, you're just being a hater or whatever. I don't give a shit. Yes, I'm being a hater. I don't like watching LaMarcus Aldridge play basketball. I certainly don't like it now that he doesn't, that he can't, he's a shell of a shell of himself. And on top of that, like, he just sucks. Fun. Compared to us, yeah, he's amazing. But he's not good anymore. He can't move. Like, remember when Waz shit on Tim Duncan? It was like, he's a statue. Like, that guy, Aldridge is a statue.
That's crazy.
Right? Aldridge is a statue. He's not going to go in and help somebody, like, win a championship.
So, Zach, you don't think, obviously I'm playing devil's advocate here. Because this is what you've been hearing since the news came that the Spurs are going to part way with him. He could give 15 good minutes to a contender. He
total?
You know,
yeah.
Total?
I got two spots for him, Boston and Portland. That's it.
Man. Jake, would he actually help Boston?
So I don't think anyone wants that contract. I don't think anyone's going to trade for him. If he does get bought out, there's probably an argument to be made that he could help Boston as a pick and pop guy. Because they don't have a pick and pop guy right now. Like, Daniel Tice is probably their best at that position. It could make things easier for some of their ball handlers. I'm with Zach on this one. I'm not really a LaMarcus Aldridge guy.
He's
going to
pick
stage.
And pop his
I
way out of the really... first round. They're going to get eliminated if they start playing LaMarcus Aldridge big minutes.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's better than any of their centers.
Wow.
Maybe Tristan Thompson. Is Daniel Tice better than LaMarcus Aldridge at
this
stage?
I would rather throw 6'3" Grant Williams out there at center than LaMarcus Aldridge at this point.
Wow.
He's a solid 6'6".
Y'all being rude. Y'all being straight over rude at this point.
Yeah, this is
Zach. I'm going to just, Zach, just ask him for the fade. Just tweet him and just say, look, line it up. This boy, bro. And Jay, make sure you.
That's the thing. I don't think he can catch me. I'm slow as hell.
Jay, make sure you put the ether behind that rant that he did 2 minutes ago.
I just run the serpentine. He's just going to fall over.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Honestly, I'm still high on LMA. Not high, but I'm medium on him. I will say that. I think that he still can add something. I just don't know where. And what people...
What do we think...
Go ahead, Jay.
He thinks he's accomplishing by wanting out. Like, does he think he's going to get more minutes, more touches? Does he think he's going to help a contender? Like, he's on a team that's going to be in the playoffs in the West that's 19-15, that has some good young talent, and he's averaging 13 points a game. It's not like he's a nothing player for them. I don't get what he wants to accomplish or what he thinks is going to happen by him
getting out. He's trying to skip the line and get the vaccine. That's what he's trying to do at this point. Because, I mean, you're hearing from other friends that things are going great.
I mean, that's not readily available in Texas right now. Like, no one's taking it in Texas.
There's a thing. He's trying to get the Moderna they offer in the Johnson & Johnson in San Antonio right now. You feel me? But overall, like, think about this. He's hearing the roars in everybody else's locker room saying, like, oh, if you come over here and you do this, you know what I mean? Because playing for the Spurs and making it to the playoffs and taking a quiet route like DeMar, probably an early exit and you get to go to Cancun early, right? Well, not Cancun because it's, you know, it's shutdown season. But by May, maybe you can fly anywhere. But if you get into a locker room that actually contends, maybe you get to the second round or third round, and I think that's what he's trying to sign on to play for. Not a championship, because I don't think that acquisition of an LMA now is going to guarantee that. I think that maybe, like Jay said, Boston doesn't have a pick and pop guy, but like at a certain expense, nah, they're not making that. I mean, Boston fans shouldn't want that either unless they can get him for cheap, like how Brooklyn got Blake Griffin for, you know, a bag of New York Garden peanuts.
Maybe that tuna loaf that's in the media room. Do they still have that tuna loaf in the media room? That thing is nasty as hell. Oh my God.
So Zach mentioned Portland, which is just hard to see that happening because he was such a diva leaving out of town. He was bitching and moaning about Dame Lillard's billboards and, you know, like he was a bit of
he and Dame made up, right?
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah. I think they did.
It's rumblings of a reunion. So we'll see.
Okay. Okay. And, you know, because he I guess owns a house in Orange County here in Southern California, naturally the Clippers and Lakers,
which
came
is very
up.
Random.
That is
very
random
for a guy.
Like, boy, you couldn't just go to the South Bay. You had to go all the way to OC to get a crib.
Jason, do we think Kawhi still lives in San Diego and he's coming up here 2 hours every day? Like, is that still happening?
It's a great question. I think yes, because Kawhi just seems like a creature of habit. He's not a guy to get a new house that's closer to the arena because people aired him out for driving 2 hours both ways to get to work. It's wild to me that that's a decision he made. I just need to know, like, does he drive himself? Does somebody drive him? Does he take a helicopter? Like, what is happening? But that is the thing that I would bet that Kawhi is still doing, driving all the way to Orange County.
Amtrak, maybe? You think he's just taking the train, just flowing up every day? Just like 8 a.m. train from San Diego. He's
even
on
in
it
the first
every
class
single morning.
Amtrak. He can't be doing that. But to get back to LMA, like, when they talk about the Lakers and the Clippers, the Clippers' center rotation is Serge and Zub. The Lakers' center rotation is, I know we're not supposed to say this, but it's AD, Montrezl Harrell, and Marc Gasol, who, you know, you've heard the reports that management has been disappointed with his output. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Is LMA upgrade over what Gasol has given the Lakers so far?
Hell yeah. What are we talking about? Yes.
No,
you're a bug.
No.
You're a bug, Zach.
He's like a duplicate.
No.
He's like the worst
move,
duplicate
Zach.
Of what
Zach,
they
don't
have.
Do that.
He can't move.
Except he can't stretch. Like, at least Marc Gasol could kind of like space the
that's
floor
crazy.
A little bit.
He stretches, but he can't reach
Zach,
his toes.
Zach, I'd rather you say that you don't even like that man at this point, bro.
No, come on. I'll say that, like, I've never enjoyed his game. Right? Like, even when he's cooking, I'm never like, yay, we get to watch the Marcus Aldridge draw 40. I've never enjoyed his game, but like, at this point, he cannot move. Like, Jason, like, Marcus Aldridge, at least he's not playing well, but he's moving defensively.
Right.
See that?
I mean, the thing that they miss is that kind of like physicality of Dwight. And you're not getting that with LMA. And
What about Drummond? If they went out and got Drummond, like, as a buyout.
That's the move. That's the move that you want. But yeah, I'm not taking Gasol over.
Wait. You guys are against LaMarcus Aldridge because he's
not
good
enough. I'm rolling, Jay.
But Andre Drummond will move the needle for you guys?
No. Andre Drummond has not played, like, winning basketball, to grab a phrase from Grit Twitter, winning basketball in a couple of years, or if ever, but he at least can move, right? Like, you have to put him in certain situations to be successful, but like, Aldridge, if he's going to go score for you, cool, but like, the Lakers have Kuzma to go get some random buckets for them, right? Like,
I'm about to go on my Andre Drummond rant, man. I'm about to
go
on
the
Andre Drummond.
The floor is yours.
The floor is yours, Jay.
Do it.
My favorite stat of this season, forget all the great stats of the MVP candidates and all that, the most eye-opening stat from this NBA season is that Andre Drummond, who should only be taking dunks and layups, is shooting less than 50% on two-pointers this season. in the restricted area, he is shooting 53% from the field. Do you know why he's doing that? It's not just because Cleveland's guards suck. It is because he is fully committed to doing the dumbest shit and to playing the most inefficient brand of basketball that he can possibly do. And if you think Andre Drummond, how old is he now? 30, 31, 29, whatever.
He's not 30 yet.
31 years old.
Bro. Andre Drummond is not ready to change his habits because Andre Drummond's habits, for some reason, have just gotten worse and worse as he's gotten older. Bro.
LeBron James.
Look, we're not going to talk LeBron down James about brought no black J.R. man Smith, like that.
brought JaVale McGee, brought Dwight Howard to the mountaintop.
Yep.
You know, he can.
J.R. Smith is patient zero for the sort of theory that LeBron can through LeBron all things are possible, right?
You want a wild stat?
Look at Trez, bro.
Andre, you want a wild stat? Andre Drummond's 27 years old. He's 27.
Yes. You trying to wash him all the way up?
I take it back. He's ready to change. He's just about to hit his prime.
That's crazy.
King's like, he's 30, 32. What is he?
He's been in the league for
it's
a while.
It's his back hair. It's his back hair. That's what you got caught with.
Yeah, he's got the mobility of a 27-year-old, but the back hair of a 67-year-old. That's the Andre Drummond experience.
Well, I don't know.
Jason, would you want Aldridge or Drummond on the Knicks for the stretch run?
No. I think no. Absolutely not. No. I mean, like the mode. Listen, things are going great in New York right now, and the mode should be get these young guys their minutes. Let them learn how to play in an environment in which these games actually do matter because we're in the mix for the playoffs and guys are playing big minutes and scrabbling for their minutes and just let that happen. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not if we're going to get a vet, let's get a vet that's going to teach these young guys something about the league and help them develop, which is development has
JJ
been
Redick.
The number one thing that the Knicks have been missing over the course of the last 20 years is a failure to develop young players. They have some nice young players now. I'm not saying they're superstars by any means, but like, let's see how good they can be. And that means they've got to play minutes. That means a mentorship from their vets. That means, having a good line of communication open with their coaching staff. And that's happening right now. So let's continue to let that happen without.
Would you be open to JJ Redick joining?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I think he's mature. And he adds shooting.
Yeah, and they need shooting.
I mean, and we desperately need shooting.
Does any part of you worry that they're getting just good enough to sign a second-tier free agent for $145 million?
Of course. That's life. That's the low grade fear that you live with day in, day out when you're a Knicks fan, and that's just life. But I've learned to live with that. And I live with it. I just accept that could happen at any time. I don't think it will happen now. I think the way that Leon Rose has been running the team has been very responsible, and I'm shocked by that, but it's true. And I hope it doesn't happen, but of course it could. Listen, Dolan had the Knicks, MSG, and the NHL Rangers release a statement name checking on Andrew Cuomo. Governor Andrew Cuomo, who's like in the midst of his fourth federal investigation, has six women like credibly accuse him of sexual harassment. And they're like, yeah, thanks, Andrew Cuomo. You're great. Like, Dolan can rear his head at any time and throw this entire train off the tracks. And that's just the fear that I live with.
And then the Patrick Ewing thing, too. Patrick Ewing versus MSG.
Oh, God.
There's always something going on. Always something going on.
My favorite is I did see a reply where someone was like, well, if he just wears his badge properly, then they can identify that he's allowed it. I was like, it's Patrick Ewing. How do you not identify him?
7'1", and he's Pat
Ewing. Because
his
hair gone.
Like, you can't.
Well, Waz, he's in his 50s now, so he's about 6'8".
Oh, yeah, he do shrink when
now,
he get older.
He's shrink. And then his hair is gone. His whole roof is gone. So
let me just defend the security for a second. Some of them, I'm sure, young, maybe not from the generation that would have recognized him. Okay, that's fine. Whoever the game day staff is at MSG, they need to know that they have this reputation with Oakley already, but they don't care about their vets. They don't care about their great players. And they need to put a picture up in the break room and say, this is Patrick Ewing. It's what he looks like now. He's the coach of the Hoyas. He's going to be in and out of the building. That's him. He's a legend here. Don't ask for his pass. Just wave him through for any of those security people that weren't of that generation to see him.
The problem is they probably have his picture up and it says next to it, like, give him as hard a time as possible. Make sure you check his credentials 7 or 8 times.
He missed the layup.
We have a lot of beef with this guy, even though his number is hanging in the rafter.
It's unfortunate.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Let's finish off this podcast by playing Fraud or Not with Jason, because I do. This is my favorite game to play. The game of Fraud or Not is just we will throw out a team or a player with a potential like ceiling, right? The theme of this week's power rankings on The Athletic for you Athletic subscribers out there is, can you reach your goals, right? So I threw a realistic goal for every team, and then leading up to the trade deadline and the buyout market, let you know if they need to grab another player in order to attain these goals. And so with the goals attached this week, the Utah Jazz will be our first team for Fraud or Not, and the goal is make the Western Conference Finals. I will remind you, they have lost both games this week. They just got blown out. Not blown out, but they got handled enough by the Golden State Warriors. Yes, those Golden State Warriors. So, Jason,
Nico Mannion era.
Or not, quit saying Nico Mannion era, okay? I'm not doing this, Jay, all right? We're not doing he was -7 in this game, and they won by like 20, okay? We're not doing the Nico Mannion era. So, Jason, fraud or not, the Utah Jazz making the Western Conference Finals.
Fuck it, they're frauds. I apologize. I want to say that my people in Utah, I care about you. I respect you. I love you. I see you. I understand that you feel a type of way about the way your team is talked about, and it's not fair to you. At the same time, I need to see it once with these Utah Jazz, and we haven't seen it since Karl Malone and John Stockton. The advanced numbers, you guys aren't as good as the 73-win Warriors team. You guys aren't as good as the Kevin Durant Warriors team. It's just not that. And it's a weird season with a lot of weird results that have happened. We have two centers in the MVP race. It's just the Knicks are good. There's funky things happening, and I just happen to think Utah is a little overinflated, that's all. Still a very good team.
So I think this question boils down to, if the Jazz avoid the Lakers and Clippers in the second round, do we think they lose to Phoenix or Denver maybe?
Right.
Or
maybe the Warriors, who knows?
Or, yeah, sure, the Warriors. I think they probably beat Utah. I mean, excuse me, beat Denver and Phoenix. Probably.
Fraud.
That being said, they're frauds. They're frauds. It's not. They're frauds because this is the thing. Like,
I like how you set them up like that, like you was on their side for a little bit.
The thing. This
just
is
play three card Monty with them, fraud or not. Just like follow the queen, fraud.
Once they did the whole small market, everybody's against us. Nobody wants to see us win because we're from Salt Lake City. Like, there's some kind of Mormon conspiracy happening amongst NBA refs or something. And I loved what KD and LeBron did to them in the All-Star game, which was, nah, y'all don't get to talk like that. No. Just for that, we pick you. Motherfucker, I played in Cleveland. KD played in OKC. You telling me, oh, we couldn't do nothing because we was in trash cities. No, son. Like, it's insane. It's insane what those dudes said. It just speaks to the mindset of those cats, man. Like, that turned me against Utah. Real talk. Just the mentality of just like, it's always somebody else's fault. Oh, woe is me. It was bad enough when Rudy Gobert cried about the All-Star game, then blamed it on his mom. Said he was crying for his mom because she was sad he didn't make it.
Never let that go either.
It was bad enough when he gave America COVID-19.
Oh my god. Hey, we might have to end on that one. We ain't even gonna get to the other frauds, bro. I think all five squares agree on the fraud. But I do have too much fun watching him get blocked and dunked on. Too much. It's not even fun. It's not even fair anymore, bro. But yes, Zach, I have them as frauds, bro.
So this is just reaching the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
So if I think they're going to reach the Western Conference Finals, they are not a fraud.
Correct.
Fraud.
They are absolutely frauds.
I'm going to give you literally any answer. Oh, man.
Do you think it's dawned on Rudy that every documentary about the COVID era here in the United States that will ever be made today, next year, and for the next 100 years, for however long they're making documentaries about history, that his clip of touching all the mics is going to be in that? Like, that's his legacy.
Bro, he's going to have a 30 for 30 off of that. Like, how it changed his life.
And it sucks, too, because we learned that COVID doesn't travel on surfaces.
It doesn't do that. It doesn't do that. But it's like indicative of how little we knew at the time. You know what I mean? Like, but it's crazy. Like, it really hit me the other day. Like, there's people that only know him for that.
Right.
Yo, I tweeted that picture the year ago anniversary, and people was like, it went all downhill after that. And I was like,
that was the tipping point. So, America would have been fine if he didn't touch microphones.
America would have been fine if he never touched those mics.
The Rudy thing for me, too, is because maybe like 4 days before that, I was at a party in LA at a spot, and the bottle service chick came out, and she had like a big, like, you know, like a, like, I don't know. It's like those light up posters. They put people's name on it or whatever.
Yeah,
the shit said COVID-19 on it. This is 4 days before Rudy. This is how serious people were taking it. It was a joke. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was literally a joke that people were saying. Corona jokes and put a lime in it and all of that shit. So it's like, the way Rudy gets killed for that is hilarious because that was indicative of how most people were feeling about it. You know what I'm saying? But, it's tough. Life's unfair sometimes.
I'll still never get over George Sedano saying that Rudy Gobert should have been suspended for the season for getting COVID. I'll never get over that. That's the greatest take we've ever had.
Fire him!
A suspension. All right. One more fraud or not, and then we'll get out of here. Let's go with, you know what? Our good old friends, the Milwaukee Bucks. They're trying new stuff.
Oh, wow.
They're trying to make sure they're playoff ready, that Mike Budenholzer can, you know, just have an option B should it get to that. They got Jrue Holiday.
He won't use it, but they have it.
So, Jason, the Milwaukee Bucks winning the Eastern Conference. Fraud or not?
No, absolutely not fraud. No. I don't care what they're doing. We've seen enough from them and from Bud at this point. We know what it is.
Oh, no.
I respect everybody in Milwaukee. I think Giannis is incredible. But they are frauds. It pains me to say it, but they are.
Yeah, and we've seen Brooklyn play these past few weeks.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know how you can watch the Nets play and think Milwaukee's going to.
They don't even have Kevin Durant.
No. Yeah, it's like
it's scary.
They won 12
it's
of
a nightmare
13,
for the league.
And KD played one of those games.
Yeah,
it's a nightmare.
The Bucks are they're toast.
My favorite midseason acquisition idea: PJ Tucker to the Bucks. They need to be able to switch. They could use another defensive upgrade. He wouldn't cost a ton.
Who makes the game-winning shot, though?
I think PJ Tucker to the Bucks needs to happen.
How?
I don't think it will
they
help them beat
picks.
The Bucks. They're frauds. I mean, the Nets. They're frauds.
They don't have any picks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they got nothing. Nothing to offer.
But. Dante DiVincenzo. Let's get him to Houston. That's what they need. Dante DiVincenzo and Kevin Porter Jr. That's going to save the Rockets.
I'm old enough to remember when he was the major centerpiece of a Bogey signing trade. So,
before that got
like Dante
irresponsibly leaked. And, and 5 days before free agency started, that
can't
one.
Wait for that 30
that
for 30.
Trade, that 30 for 30 is going to be amazing. Trey, are they frauds or not? The Milwaukee Bucks winning the East.
It pains me, but yes, they're still frauds. Still.
I like that they're trying new stuff, though. They're trying to get more flexible. They're trying to learn things that will actually help them come playoff time.
Yeah, it's a broken marriage. It's just like, what if we went to Applebee's tonight? Right? spice things up.
Still a very good
team.
They're
in couples therapy.
Yeah.
Just trying to learn how to
Milwaukee
switch.
Milwaukee Bucks fans are not even saying that they're going to go to the finals.
Yeah, they have been remarkably quiet. And I don't know if that's just a morning of Ursula
no, it was the,
Sova
it was,
going to
it
Utah.
Was the bubble
I don't
humble.
Know what that is, but yeah, the bubble moment. Yeah, because that
the bubble humble was the most humbling thing ever.
I think a lot of
because that was supposed to be the
I think
year,
a lot of fan bases would have been like, "Hey, man, Giannis got hurt." Otherwise, but they just got wrecked. And I don't know who could have seen that coming, Jay. You know who could have seen the Miami Heat just smacking the Milwaukee Bucks around and boasting about that. For months prior to it happening, you know,
it was a tough period in my life. I would like to forget about it if I could. Jay Crowder is missed sorely.
Jay Crowder is missed.
Here we go.
That's when he built the shrine to Jay Crowder. It was that Bucks series where Jay Crowder hit like 50% of his threes.
No, he had that. He had that shrine. Constructed from that one year he shot 38% for the Boston Celtics, but he'd had a tarp over it for years, and he dusted off that tarp, he pulled it over, he said, "Hello, old friend. Good to see you
again." I'm telling you, Bucks might have won the title last year if it wasn't for Jay Crowder.
What?
I don't even believe that. Oh, okay. I don't even believe that.
That was gonna be a take right there.
Let me ask you. Let me just quickly. They fire Coach Bud if they disappoint in the playoffs this year. Yes or no?
I feel like they would have fired him last year, but Giannis must like him.
Does it matter? Right?
And now that Giannis is signed, they need to move on if they have a similar playoff outing.
Yeah, I think to me it matters how they lose. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have to make the conference finals. Like if they lose in the second round.
I mean, so
I want to see Giannis
so
coached by D'Antoni.
Is it a disappointment if they lose to Philadelphia or Miami? I mean, like.
I think losing to Miami will get him fired. I think losing to
Absolutely.
Losing to 100%. Philly could get him fired. I don't think losing to Brooklyn will get him fired.
No. This
depends how they lose to Brooklyn.
Yeah, if it's the Heat series all over again, then there's nothing they can do. I think it's just like Jason, I think if they can get a hand up on some three-pointers that are going against them in the playoffs this time, that will show improvement. Even if they go in, just marginal closeouts by Pat Connaughton. They'll be like, all right, we figured it out. We're on the right path. I think that'll he's gotta get fired. Let's just fire him. Right, we fired Ryan Saunders. We fired Lloyd Pierce. Let's just get him out of there right now.
Oh Lord.
I need Mike D'Antoni coaching Giannis. I need it.
I kind of want Brad Stevens to coach Giannis in Milwaukee.
Ooh.
Wow.
That's what I want. I think that's the move right there. You know what else is the move? Checking out Take Line with Jason Concepcion and Renee Montgomery via Crooked Media and also the All Caps NBA video series. Jason, give us a preview of what's to come on both of these projects.
Take Line, me and Renee Montgomery, two-time WNBA champion. We're going to be talking about sports. We're going to be doing all this kind of conversations that one would have about sports. We're looking at the games, analyzing deals and such, but we're going to really lean into the crookedness of it all, talking about social justice, player empowerment, labor rights, all that kind of stuff that is interwoven in sports conversations, but that other places will often like shy away from. And then All Caps NBA is, it's the inheritor to NBA Desktop's throne. We're going to be looking at the NBA through the lens of the internet, and it's going to be fun.
A lot of Spencer Hawes talk.
A lot of Spencer Hawes.
I can't.
make sure you check out Waz on All Caps NBA when it's Spencer Hawes month on Crooked Media right there.
Stop Jason, the vote!
Jason, thanks for joining us. For Jason Concepcion, for Javon Edward, Jay King, Wazzy Lambert, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in on The Athletic and check out Take Line on All Caps NBA.
Dave, you coward!